Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna.
Welcome into a new episode of the Podcastianos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who always paints a lovely word picture. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you, buddy?
Good. I'm wonderful, really, Hall.
Your fancy dragon show ended this weekend. How did you find the ending?
You know, I know people are listening here for that hot Game of Thrones content and my hot takes. I will tell you, I had neither hot nor scalding cold takes. That's not really a phrase. I'm failing at your introductory comments with a word picture already. So I went on neither end of the spectrum. I thought it was good, but not awesome.
Yeah.
So my take on it is this. I was fine with the resolution and the character arcs, but it all felt rushed and wonky because they had to get this done in like 6 episodes. And it really should have taken them more time, and it could have been properly developed, which it was not.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Eric, do you have any big personal news to announce to the listeners?
You know, I'm considering growing out my chest hair. So that's a big difference. No, I don't, Hall. Tell us what's going on in your life.
I have some big personal news.
Yes.
I will be doing the play-by-play broadcasting for the Traverse City Pit Spitters this summer.
Here the voice of the Spitters. The Spitter of the Spitters. Yes.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's the Northwoods League, for those of you who are not familiar with it, which is should be almost literally everyone because I wasn't. It is like a Cape Cod League, but maybe like a half a tier lower. There's been some fairly impressive names. I pulled up some Tigers that have played in the league. Are you ready for this list?
Yes, I'm ready.
Luminaries like Evan Reed, Brian Holiday.
Ooh, not a good start.
Yeah, not a good start. I probably should have just crossed
keep
that
going.
One off.
Keep going.
Efren Navarro. It does get better.
Okay.
Robbie Friend. Weinhardt, not necessarily yeah. in the getting better camp. Tom Gorzolani.
Okay.
Friend of the show, adjacent, Andy Dirks. Casey McGee, and then some actual names that are good. John Hicks, Drew Smiley, Jordan Zimmerman, Jeff Weaver, Curtis Granderson, Danny Wirth, and the biggest name of all, Blaine Hardy. All Northwoods League alums, and actually Max Scherzer and Chris Sale also played in the league. But let's be honest, Blaine's the highlight there.
Yeah, a couple also rans and Blaine Hardy.
So yeah, I mean, I tweeted this out today. Like, I could be calling the next, you know, future Tigers legend over the course.
You
of
could
the summer.
Be. You absolutely could be. Yes. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, Traverse City is both North and Woods. So yeah. I think it's apropos.
Yeah. I mean, I personally didn't come up with the name of the league, but I appreciate that you're giving me the credit there. Online broadcast through the Pit Spitters website. I'm sure that I will tweet it out so you can watch it kind of like a TV broadcast. Yeah, it'll be fun. It will take up potentially some show time. What does this mean for the show? Probably, I say probably, maybe less shows over the course of the season, just kind of going to be a play it by ear. But if we randomly don't have a show in your inbox for 3 weeks, please don't think that we're dead or whatever. It'll just be because of this. So we'll have to go like more wit per each show and you know, hard
yeah,
to be
we have
told.
To really concentrate it. Yes. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's like Will Rhymes, you know, really have the concentrated, you know, a lot in a small size.
I once saw Will Rhymes in a Chili's.
That's not particularly funny for any reason, but okay, good story.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, do you have your commentary like pre-baked a little bit, like home run, like, oh, there's a cherry bomb.
No,
it's a spitter, no hitter, you know, stuff like
that. That one I would use. I'm not sure that I'm going cherry bomb. I feel like, I don't know. I have a specific brand and it doesn't super involve puns. Like our show involves
true.
Puns.
That's true. I'm carrying most of that freight though.
Yeah, you really are. Which I thought about like printing out the roster and just sending it to you and say, what do you got for me?
I can do some work on that. You send that to me.
All right, cool. Cool. So let's, if you guys have any questions about that, tweet me at JordanHall23. So let's see. Last week we planned to do a show. Life kind of got in the way, but it was right after the Pujols 2000th RBI ball fiasco. Kind of old news at this point, so let's not get into it. Let's just jump right to the leadoff question. You good with that?
Yes.
It was an event that happened. We all know, we all have our strong opinions about a man who we don't know and what he should have been done with a baseball. So if you were to catch a baseball in the stands of significant value, what would you want for it when bartering with the team?
I would do something similar to what this guy did, and that is not forfeit it to the team. I would keep it.
Really?
Let me tell you why, because I want to fully monetize the ball. I want the highest possible value, because to me, somebody else is going to appreciate it more than me, especially like a Pujols ball like that. I want to get maximum dollar value return. So I would keep it like this guy, but unlike this guy, I want them to show me the money. So here's the interesting thing. The Tigers organization cannot authenticate the ball if it goes into the stands. They will not put a little hologram sticker and give you a certificate. However, with a ball of that importance, there's a lot of video. People saw you probably catch the ball. You know, Tony Paul wrote this big story. I want my picture taken with it. I want as much as the French say, provenance, as I can with the ball. I want it to kind of be as authentic as possible, and then I am going to sell that sucker and cash in.
I think that's a hard sell. I think you would definitely make more money off it even on eBay than you would in what the Tigers give you, but I still don't think you're making, like, you're not making $100,000 off of that without the hologram and the
no. But they were showing me, like, somebody tweeted it at me, I forget, but Bautista's bat flip home run ball fetched like 30 some grand.
Okay. I am 100% in for 31 grand. That is my answer too.
If I could get 10 grand for Pujols home run ball, there is not much the Tigers could give me that could match that kind of
figure. I'm quite sure there is nothing that they could give you.
I'm sure Cabrera is a nice guy, but I don't need him, you know, giving me an awkward handshake and signing some gear for me for 10 grand.
Yeah, for sure not. So
what would you do? Are you trading it in?
I'm trading it. I'm a rule follower. If somebody really wants it, I'm giving it to them. But I would want something like one of a kind or an experience out of the deal. Like, you know, anyone can get a baseball signed or a jersey or a bat or whatever. I want something that like only sanctioned access to the players could provide. I want to play mini golf with some of the players. I don't think that's unreasonable. Sure. Maybe get to like photo with one of the scoreboard Tigers. I don't know if that's possible, but I would enjoy that. Or maybe get to be like pause for a day or run in the car race. I don't know. Something like that.
Something like that would be good, I'd say.
In addition to,
you should be able to do, you should get all of those. You should get the real VIP treatment for a good ball.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really, really in on the photo with the scoreboard tigers. I'd go up there.
Okay. You're not scared of heights, huh?
Apparently not. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On the Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, Facebook.com/Podcastianos, and we would love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and now Spotify, or
yes,
whatever
Spotify.
Other platform you listen to the show on. We are on Spotify. People have been asking about it for a while, and to be honest, it just flipped my mind. And then a couple weeks ago, I was like, hey, I should do that. And it literally took like 45 seconds. So my apologies.
Don't tell people that. Oh, so hard. Yeah. What I don't do for you people.
Yeah, the sacrifices we make. So anyway, leave us a review. Take a screenshot of it. Tweet it out. Make it funny. And we'll read it out eventually to show our appreciation.
Spotify is my platform of choice. So I appreciate you.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
Heading in to our next segment, I will be running down our Tigers talk segment this week. And I thought since we're about a quarter of the way through the season, I would do just a, you know, zoom out to the 30,000 foot view of where we're at. Right now is, like I said, approximately a quarter of the way through the season. We started out good. We started 8-4. 8-4. So we won 8 games in our first
12
games.
Not a mathematician, but yeah, I'm pretty sure
so. We have won 10 games since then. We are 10-22 since that start. So we started good, 8-4. We went 5-10 to finish April, and then really bad. We've been 5-12 in the month of May, which is bad.
Yeah.
Not only are we losing, but we're losing big. We're getting shellacked
frequently. Yep.
Yeah. So we're 18-26 overall right now, and to me it feels like maybe there's more pain coming. So let's break down our pain. Let's talk about our pain together, shall we?
We shall.
All right. Okay, the first reason why we are experiencing this pain is starting pitching woes.
Womp womp
womp. So Turnbull is pitching tonight, and he's doing okay, but he has been human a little bit, and also Boyd has come back to something a little bit more human because he was so good for the first time. What can we expect of these two guys going forward, do you think?
I think we can expect a lot more. I'm going to talk about Turnbull first. I think we can expect a lot more of the same. He's a rookie. Like,
yep.
He has electric stuff. My dad and I actually went down on last Thursday and watched him throw. And we'll just say we borrowed some other people's seats that was we're right down behind the home plate.
That's
and
wise.
Watching the movement on his pitches was incredible. Like the movement he gets is super impressive. The outing was kind of just based on a couple of non-error but defensive mistakes behind him. But the stuff is there. Like he 100% passes the eyeball test. I mean, you guys have all seen that. You watch him on TV all the time. But there are going to be some ups and downs. I mean, that's kind of just what you can expect from a starting pitcher, or a rookie starting pitcher, excuse me. But I mean, I don't think there's any reason to be too awfully concerned. I mean, his xFIP is kind of middle of the pack, so he's at least an average, you know, I like to use that as kind of a predictor, kind of an average to slightly above average starter at this point, which, I mean, did any of us think that was even within the realms of possibility going into the season?
Well, and that was the thing, like he was not penciled to be a starter for us this year. You forget that pretty quickly, but we had at least initially Fulmer, Moore, Ross, and Zimmerman all in the starting rotation to start the year.
Yeah. And he catapulted Norris in spring. Like Norris was far higher on the list coming into the spring, according to everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
And now it's a situation where Turnbull needs to carry some freight. I mean, even if he stubs his toe a few times, we just need him. We need the innings. We need his arm. So it's become a reality. He's going to get every chance, and he's lived up to it. He's carrying some freight. Boyd has just been so excellent for the first stretch of the season that even on average outings, he's still good.
Yeah, so. He's not even really throwing up too many stinkers, at least not.
No.
Especially when you frame it in context of the rest of our rotation. Like, right. I mean, he is fine. He's not necessarily, you know, I got excited about him the last time we did the show. I thought there was potential for him to be a true, you know, an ace.
We got a little carried away, as we tend to do.
Yeah, as being a top 30 pitcher. I thought there was a chance that maybe he's a top 30 pitcher. He's not quite in that range. But, I mean, he's close, and he's clearly a building block.
Right. Good. Do we trade him?
I don't know. I still don't think so. I'm not sure that my stance on that has changed. Unless somebody comes in with a, you know, this is a potential middle of the order bat, somebody that's young, controllable. I still don't think you move him. I think you need somebody like him to kind of bridge the gap between here and the Mises and the Mannings and the, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
I agree. Norris is Norrising, which is to say, he just has a tough time pounding out a floor of consistency.
Yeah.
Where you say, okay, I know I'm going to get this from Norris. He's getting closer, right? He's got some real good ones. I think so.
You know me. I've loved Norris for a very long time. I am starting, even I tend to be one of the more optimistic people out there. Even I am starting to get to the point where I'm like, I mean, I think this just is what he is. And what this is, honestly, isn't great. But I mean, there's no reason to not give him a full compliment. I mean, he's our number three at this point. Like, there's no reason to not keep running him out there. And I think we're going to have this conversation about 12 more times over the course of the summer. But I'm more or less sold at this point that this is what he is until he really starts to put stuff together to change my mind, which is unfortunate because I like him.
So the last, Norris's starts, he's worked, his first start was April 21. He worked 5 innings, then 5 innings, then 5 innings, May 7, 5 innings. His longest start, he worked 6 1/3, which was, I would say, is probably his best start. Mm-hmm. And then last time he worked 5 1/3 and he gave up 6 earned runs. Which was kind of his biggest stinker lately. So he's still trying to find his way a little bit.
Yeah. And we just have a little bit of fatigue with him. I mean, obviously that's not exactly, you know, hot take, but it just, I don't know.
And so after Norris, we have a dumpster fire for 4 and 5. I mean, it's just a void. I mean, we're just trying to find anybody. So that has contributed to the, you know, we're doing things like this opener. We're trying Nick Ramirez. We got trying Soto. We're trying, I mean, anyway, we don't need to talk much more about that.
I do want to talk a little bit more about that because it's a mess. Soto, he is, I know his last outing was a little bit more promising. He is not good.
He's been rushed, dude. They rushed him.
He's like 25. I mean,
still,
I know that people develop at different times, but he's 20. Like, you should be further along in your development at this point. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of patience there.
To me, that spot would have went to Funkhauser or Burrows.
Yeah, had they been hurt. Yep. Yeah, I understand why he got the call. I feel like there was a little bit of outrage about that. I mean, there just weren't really any other options. But he's not good. I that's the only word that comes to mind.
All right.
I now want to talk about Nick. Nick.
Yep.
I like Nick Ramirez. Obviously, I mean, you all know I have a soft spot for gritty lefties. Let's not you know, pretend there's not a bias here. But I think there's something to go on there. You know, is he
the changeup is real, right?
Yeah. Is he then our next Blaine Hardy? You know, maybe like that's when you're trying to turn first baseman into pitchers, like Blaine Hardy is kind of the best case scenario. Are you okay?
I just knocked over the microphone.
You just get so excited about Nick Ramirez.
Like a drunken baboon over here trying to make a podcast. It's ridiculous.
All right, all right. I've talked enough about Nick Ramirez. Also, his wife is in it to win it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, got to support. Got to stand by your man. In the words of Dolly.
Dolly?
Dolly Parton. Yeah. She sang a famous song called "Stand by Your Man."
All right.
No, maybe that's not Dolly Parton. Maybe that's Tammy Wynette.
Sure.
People are yelling at their device. "Stand by Your Man" is a song. Of unknown ownership.
To be honest, I don't know that many of our listeners actually know. I think that's just nonsense.
All the millennials are like, what the heck is going on?
Give me my avocado toast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So starting pitching, we talked about that. In offensive woes. We've had some crumbing defense, but starting pitching injury and offensive woes to me are the two main factors in our slide. I would like to point out there has not been much power for Mr. Miguel Cabrera, or really anyone, but aside from Ronnie Rodriguez, we'll get to him.
Obviously.
But is Miguel Cabrera done as a slugger?
I mean, it's really hard to make a case against no. I mean, he's just not. I haven't looked into this, which, you know, considering we have a podcast, maybe I should have. You know, that's potentially the research that I could have done prior. But the launch angle looks different with him. I would bet that his launch angle is lower than it's been in the past, which that's kind of going in the wrong direction. It's not like he's not barreling up balls. They're just not going anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, the hardest hit balls over the course of his career, the hardest hit balls that he's had have typically been, you know, shots up the middle and stuff like that. But the ball's just, it's not going anywhere. Even when it looks like he put a really good swing on the ball. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what to make of it.
Yeah, I worry a little bit about him catching up with good hard fastballs. Now, tonight, earlier in the game tonight, he had a fastball that was up and in, and he didn't hit it to the wall. He just turned it around and had a really nice hit up the middle. But sometimes you weren't seeing that. And listening to Dan Dickerson on the broadcast too, he talked about this a couple times where baseballs that Cabrera would ordinarily punish are just getting on him a little bit more. And that seems to smack of age.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Now, maybe he's such a savvy hitter and he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's savvy enough where maybe he figures that out. Okay, I got to cheat a little bit. I got to think ahead a little bit. I don't know. I don't think he's certainly not done as a hitter. I think he's going to be an excellent hitter. Even this year, he's hitting almost 300.
And he would have
90 something.
He's delivered in the clutch too. Like, there just haven't really been all that many clutch situations. I mean, I still think that he could be a run producer. He just, you know, the situation isn't great for that.
He's batting 292, but he's got one home run. So I think we need to recalibrate our expectations for him as a home run hitter. You know, maybe we're talking 15, 20 home runs.
Yeah, maybe you're looking at Edgar Martinez late career over Big Poppy late career.
Right.
I mean,
I think Big Poppy was such an outlier. I feel like it's unfair for us.
Do you think there was a reason? But I kid.
Are you taking some medicinal suggestions that he's on the enhanced pharmaceutical path?
Or probably just CBD oil, obviously.
Yeah, what is it with this oil people are talking about? Oh, it's so stupid.
I don't know. You can get it at Family Video. I'll tell you what.
I'm not rubbing anything on my body that comes from Family Video.
That is the first place I go for my oils, obviously. If I can rent MLB The Show there, I also want my CBD oil from there, obviously.
Moving back to hitters, we have a bunch of kids hitting for us.
Correct.
That really shouldn't be hitting. And it really has to do with injuries to Stewart, Harrison, Mercer, and now Candelario's not hitting him down. Is this just a part of baseball life, or is this bad planning by our friend Al Avila?
I mean, I think there are some signs that point to the latter. I don't know. I have a hard time pinning all of this because we've spent a lot of draft capital in the last couple of years on starting pitchers. And that's what was been available. Like, I'm a firm believer in the draft that you have to take best player available. And I feel like for the most part, outside of maybe Ray Rivera, like, that's kind of what we've done. It just so happens that they have all been pitchers. Could he have done better in the JD trade? I mean, yeah, like there's nothing there right now. Yep.
To me, it's like you signed Harrison and Mercer, and to fill, as your starters, two significant positions, and these guys are a little older. Like, you shouldn't know the future, but you can expect that there's more risk involved in signing these older guys and expecting them to carry some freight all year for you.
Okay, we're talking. My argument was long-term, better plan.
And they don't
going know. To your like this year. I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I don't have his stats in front of me, but Jordan Mercer has been relatively durable over the course of his career. I wouldn't necessarily say Josh Harrison is a major injury risk. I don't necessarily think that we could, bank on them hitting 250 with power over the course of the year, but I believe that it was reasonable to expect them to be in the lineup most days. You know what I mean? Like, not really.
Yeah, Harrison's 31 and Mercer's 32. They're only a little older than Nick Ramirez.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know
that criticism. Okay. Let's see what else we're going to talk about. Is there improvement in sight? What are the reasons for hope?
I think one of the reasons for hope is that more Candelario Ronnie? Was sent down. I think that is being willing to hit someone's ego like that. Like, Evan was talking about potentially Griner going down. He mentioned Jacoby, who I don't necessarily think Jacoby needs to go down at this point. But just no ego being safe is a little bit of a, specifically with the younger guys, I feel like that's a little bit of a departure from previous Al Avila decision makings. Candelario needed to go down. He needed to go down and rework his swing. I didn't think that we had the guts to actually do that. And
I didn't either.
And I think he will benefit from it.
It happened, and a lot of people on Twitter are like, oh yeah, I saw that coming. And I was kind of like, BS.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe everybody's so savvy it just snuck up on me.
But. Yeah, I think Twitter is the smart one, and you are
I didn't see a lot of people being like, oh yeah, Candelario is going to go down any day now. You didn't see those tweets, smarty pantses.
Yeah, I texted you. Are we sure Candelario is good? Like, I was.
You did kind of nail
how
that.
Good he actually was, but even I was like. I would not have guessed in a million years that they were going to send him down, at least when they did.
My glimmers of hope are, I think Nico is going to hit a little bit more again. He's in a slump. I think he'll come out of that slump.
Yeah.
And Ronnie Rodriguez shows the power. I think he's going to see as many at-bats as he wants. but that's about it, though. It's going to be bad.
Yeah. I'm curious to see Stewart's development.
That's true. Good call.
That's something. Granted, when we were there, it was one of Harrison's first games back. He looked done. I don't know if he was still not healthy or if he's just off the pace or if he's uninterested. He looked done. Like,
I have heard 150
over the course of the year, done.
Yeah. I have heard people whisper that they could just cut their losses with him.
I think that would be fine. I mean, to be honest, like, do I think Dowell Lugo is anything? No. But would I rather see him getting the reps at second base? Yeah, probably. Same with Harold Castro. Like, all these guys, they're probably not the answer, but I think we all know at this point that Josh Harrison is not part of the long-term. I mean, we signed him to a one-year deal. Like, he clearly was not part of the, I'd rather.
But could
see
Willie
that go.
Castro play for a couple months?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Willie, am I thinking Willie yeah. is Willie, yeah, Willie Castro, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's hit some quick takes.
Yes, let's do it.
There he is. So we have to go quick now. Okay, no dawdling, Hall.
All right.
Quick takes. Brandon Dixon pitched. Any
yes.
takes?
I was in the house when I realized that he was coming out. One of the greatest moments of my life. Like, it was like, here we go. He got a huge ovation. I loved it. The best thing about it, he was just like flipping up little get me over breaking balls. No interest whatsoever in throwing the heater. I loved it. It was
there
great.
Was no heater. How do you know those were breaking balls? He's just lobbing it up there.
Yeah, I suppose that's the stadium scoreboard said slider. So I gotta defer to their judgment.
I have never seen a major league hitter whose eyes clicked and he just licked his lips and crushed it. Like, it was Kanha. What is
his
name?
I know who you're talking about. I don't yeah. know how to say it.
He saw that thing coming and it was just like, I'm going to hit this for a home run. Like, he double clutched it and just crushed. I've never seen it before.
It's like a
in my
slow
life.
Pitch softball swing.
I saw it come up there and I'm like, oh my goodness, he's going to slaughter this ball. And yep. Boom.
He very much did. Yeah.
It was fun. So yeah. Brandon Dixon got two strikeouts and also got balls crushed.
Yeah. I think one more time. I know we're going quick, but I got to slow us down. The called third strike to Marcus Semien, like it was a little bit up. But I mean, if that ball was anywhere close, he was ringing him up and it was hilarious. The crowd went nuts. I mean, there was like 45 people left there, but the crowd went nuts.
That's not a strike.
No, it was for sure not a strike.
Not a strike. Reed Garrett, our Rule 5 pick, has been bad. We cut him, and I learned today he's back to the Rangers. Did we learn anything with this?
That maybe we should just call it a day on Rule 5.
Yeah, maybe just relax, people, about the Rule 5ers. Reed Garrett, good try. I mean, I'm not.
Was it?
Sure, it was a good try. Throws hard. What did it set us back?
Oh, I mean, nothing. Just, I don't know what the other options were. I can't imagine any of them were worse than Reed Garrett. Fine. Reed Garrett is hashtag not very good.
Yeah, okay.
Man, I'm downer today. I've called a lot of people not good. This is a weird territory for me.
Speaking of not good, we talked about this. Candelario sent to Toledo. We were a little surprised. Mm-hmm. Nick Ramirez, cool story.
Yeah, sure.
About this cool
yeah,
story.
I mean, yeah. Okay. I think it's interesting that they switched him over.
Yeah, but he's like almost 30.
Yeah, I mean, late in the game. Possibly Ohtani situation. It's a joke.
Totally. Greg Soto rush job. You said no. I said maybe.
I say
you covered that
for
ground.
Sure, no, definitely.
Okay. Cabrera had a little ouchie and sat down during Justin Verlander's start. Is this a thing? Is this an interesting matchup? They've never faced each other before. Is this interesting, or will it be when it happens?
I don't know that it's going to at this point. I mean, I think it's a. I guess I shouldn't question his integrity, but I think it was a purposeful ducking of him. I don't think I don't think he wants any bit of that.
You're not serious. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Like. Many other players, I would say, nah, coincidence. Miggy, like, you can't tell me you don't think there's some. I don't know. It could be nonsense. Good.
I'm not buying this. I think he had a serious like foot thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be fascinating if it was, but
I think he knows that Verlander isn't in a position to really toast his cookies, so to speak.
Toast his cookies.
Is that a saying?
It is now, Gramps. Okay. Moving along. Why am I unreasonably ornery about Ryan Carpenter? Oh, I try to be nice, but I'm so done with Ryan Carpenter. I don't want to see him pitch for us ever again.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. He is. I mean, I've said this a lot on the show. He's actually really bad. Like, of all the players that we've discussed. And I've been down on. He is by far the worst.
If we signed two starters out of the Mexican League, I would be more excited to go about that because maybe there's something.
Yeah, just randos.
Ryan Carpenter, we know, is not. something. Sorry, sorry, Ryan Carpenter's family. Okay. I just hope I never encounter them, because I dog on him all the time. And I'm sure he's a fine person. He's probably pets dogs and loves his grandma.
Does petting dogs and loving your grandma is that all it takes to become a good person?
Yeah. And putting the shopping cart back in the corral.
That's fair.
You do those three things, it's a fine life.
That's fair. All right, I'll give you that one. That does seem to cover it.
Okay, Nico Goodrum is in a slump. What are we getting? Are we getting slumping Goodrum, or are we getting good Goodrum?
I mean, currently we're getting slumping one. I don't know.
I think he'll return.
I think so too.
Ronnie Rodriguez is raking. Is this sustainable?
No, it is. It is not. I think he's better than he was last year, but I think it's going to come somewhere between, you know, AL MVP candidate and what he did last year. I think in that very small window, that's where the actual Ronnie Rod is.
That's probably true.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. Now we go on to Eric's power rankings. Hey, thanks for the introduction, Eric. I will be going on to my power rankings right now. And here I have for you, Paul, our power rankings, numbers between 1 and 10.
Okay. I'm in on this. I like this.
So I'll be ranking the top 7 and bottom 3 numbers between 1 and 10. So this is sophisticated stuff.
Does 10 count?
Well, I have to have 10. 7 plus 3 is 10.
Oh, yeah. I'm a dummy.
I'm not starting at 0. These are integers above 0.
0 is a trash number.
Zero is nothing. Right. Okay. Moving along. All right. Number 7 is 9. 9 is almost as good as 10. Right? It's close. There's 9 innings in baseball, and kind of 9 holes of golf is like a half a round of golf.
That's true.
You know, a lot of prices end in 9.
That's also true.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 6 is 5. 5 is a nice handful, right? Half 10, get some tally marks going. It's 5. It's a good number.
I like this. This might be my favorite power rankings yet.
Coming in at number 5 is 2.
Well, obviously.
2 is like 1, but with a friend. It's even. It's the first even number. That's nice.
That is nice.
It's easy to count by. 2s.
True.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 4 is 7. 7's, you know, lucky number 7. 7 days in a week.
That's true. Yeah.
That's nice. And if I go ever have to pick a uniform number, I go with either 40 in honor of Phil Koch and Mike Allstott, or I go with number 7 because it's lucky.
So there's no player and inspiration
Pudge, there? Pudge was seven. He kind of like kicked off the Tigers renaissance, if you will.
I will.
Okay. Coming in at number 3 is 3.
Oh, I was hoping we were going to get one of those.
Good things come in threes, don't they? I mean, 3 strikes, 3 outs. I mean, the Trinity, I mean, God is 3. That's good. Triangles are the strongest shape.
Are they? Based on what?
Math.
Sure. All right. I'll take your word for it.
Number 2, coming in 2nd, is 10.
Okay.
10 is the biggest number between 1 and 10.
Can't argue that.
It's easy to count by. And, you know, we have this base 10 system, you know, thanks to the Arabs, you know, we're using 10s. Smart.
Yeah. Plus, it's my favorite position on the soccer field.
Oh, the number 10 spot.
Yeah.
That's kind of the key spot.
I'm positive that if I played soccer, I would be a really good number 10.
I believe you.
I've never played in my life, but if I did, I'd be brilliant.
You did. I'm sure you'd be brilliant. Number one, you got a guess?
Number one.
That's correct.
Woo! Good job.
Once you have one, you have something. If you don't have one, there's nothing. And that's an important jump from nothing to having something. And one, I feel like, is the easiest number to count by.
Yes. I mean, that's what we teach children to count by.
It's pretty good.
It's literally just counting.
You wouldn't get very far without good old number one, would you?
No.
Fastball, that's number one.
That's true.
It just came to me.
Yeah.
This is the stupidest one ever.
It's playing much better than I thought it was when you said what the topic was going to be.
This is incredibly stupid. Okay, I'm entertaining myself. Okay, the third worst integers from 1 to 10. Third from the worst is 4.
What do you have against 4?
4 is just not very satisfying. I mean, it's 2 twice, but who cares, really? I mean...
I feel like that's an apt phrase right now.
Okay. Second from the worst is 6. 6 is, you know, if 7 is the perfect lucky number and the number of completion, 6 is, it's not there. It's not quite 7. And, you know, 666 in the Bible.
It's bad.
You know, Mark of the Beast, it's bad.
Bad news.
It's bad. Okay. Can you guess the worst number from 1 to 10?
Have we done 8?
Good process of elimination. 8 is the worst number. It's hard to multiply by. I mean, I still don't know the 8s times tables very well.
Does that come up often for you?
Well, sometimes, I guess. I never properly learned it in school, I guess. And 8 gives you all these stupid units. Like you get this, like an 8-ounce glass of something, and then you get 64 ounces, right? Why not go to the metric base 10 system? Why are we using 8s?
So you're a metric truther. All right.
Absolutely. 8s.
This is America.
Counting by 8s is stupid, right? 16 ounces in a pound or whatever. This is dumb. 8's a dumb number. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Wow, I'm going to need a second to recover from that.
Moving right along to our next segment, did you see anything alongside the road while you were running?
I did. So as many of you know that, no, Traverse City is, it's a fairly well-to-do area. We have a lot of, fancy people around here, as I would call them. So when I was
wherever
running,
there's water, you find fancy people.
That is 100% fact. So running today, I passed a lemonade stand. Care to guess how much lemonade was at said stand?
Was this being manned by children?
It was. Yep. This was a child's children. Lemonade stand. It was right on.
I'm guessing they're asking $1 for it now.
$3. What kind of bougie lemonade are you serving that costs $3?
Man, they better have squeezed that, you know,
with organic, you know, artesian lemons.
Artisanal lemons, yeah. And stevia sugar or whatever it is. Hand milked from a sugarcane vine.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's what I saw on the side of the road while running. I wanted to just like flip it over. I should have.
$3. You're probably getting what, an 8-ounce glass, I hope.
Maybe it looked like Dixie cups. I mean, I
think you get like a 1-ounce glass. That's lame.
Yeah. Oh, driver's
so seat. How many cups did you buy?
I didn't buy any. I'm not giving those cartel runners my business.
You didn't have pity on the poor children.
Also, I don't have any money on me when I'm running. I don't have anything.
But here's the thing. If they were offering you the lemonade and they had a lemonade stand out and it said lemonade, $0.25, how much, and you're buying lemonade, how much are you giving the kids?
Still none. Screw them.
Dude, that's what she says. You always like give the kids like a buck or two. No. Even if it's 25 cents a glass.
I'm not buying nothing. Kids got to learn the value of a dollar.
By you not giving them any?
Sure.
All right.
This is America. Yeah. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps, kids.
Some inflationary lemonade. Ugh. I don't know. Okay, what else we got, Hall? We got Twitter questions?
We have a lot of Twitter questions.
Let's do it.
All right. At Maria Rose underscore XO. How many games will the Tigers win this season?
Well, 100 lost teams, 62 wins. 69.
The only possible answer.
69 wins.
There you go. At Cam underscore Gerard, what are the foxes' names? If any of you are unaware of my foxes, I have foxes at the campground. There are four babies. I've named two of them. I told Anthony Troy I would name one of them after him, so it's Anthony. Obviously,
Jamie Fox.
Oh, that's good. We'll do that. One of them's name is Jamie. Obviously, we'll name one after Don Kelly. So one is Donnie. So we have one left.
I don't know.
We could put this out to the listeners.
What was the Laker whose last name was Fox?
Rick Fox. You know,
Rick Fox. There you go. Yeah. Rick.
I like Jamie. I'm not so sold on Rick.
Is it Vivica Fox? There's another actress who's Fox.
I'm gonna have to take your word for it on that one. But anyway.
How about 20th Century?
All right, we're spiraling now.
20th Century is a good Fox name.
It's so if you have one, tweet it to us or whatever. Also, if you want to see pictures of my fox, check out my Instagram. They're adorable and I love them. They're my family. They're higher on my list than you are at this point. I think you know that.
You should check out his pictures for fox's sake.
At Eric Lloyd, and this is a good one. There was much debate in our mentions about this one. As fans, would you rather have a decade like the Tigers had from 2006 to 2015, where they were always competitive and fun to watch, but no titles, or be like the Royals, futility followed by two great years, a title, and then back to the basement?
To me, the answer to this question is so self-evident, and yet is so vigorously opposed that I get confused. And that is, I want the decade of competitive every year, even if it doesn't yield a championship. However, some people are willing to have nine lousy years for one World Series, and I'm not feeling that logic. For part of my logic is you have to get into the playoffs and be competitive to get to a World Series. Like, one, you have to get somewhere first before you can get to the end. But I just enjoy being somewhat good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, when you win a World Series, you have an awesome moment. Like, we haven't won it in my lifetime. I don't know what that's like. And it's like, yeah, this is awesome. But if that is the only good moment you have over 10 years, like, I mean, that's kind of tough. Like, I feel like when I was a junior in high school when we started being good in 2006, between there and 2015 when we traded away David Price, like I have so many good memories from that era. I would be hard pressed to trade that. Would I get rid of the David Ortiz, you know, Torrey Hunter going over the wall moment? Yeah, I'd trade that one. But
yeah, that was harsh.
The rest of I definitely agree. Like,
yeah. The answer's so clear to me. I don't always get it, but whatevs.
At Mitch underscore from underscore MI says, favorite minor / major league promotion or day, and was Jordan finally granted a reserve parking spot as the voice of the Pit Spitters? No parking spot, but I have been given access to a lot that is specifically designed for employees. So, I mean, that's pretty cool, too.
Fancy. Nice. Minor league promotions. I feel like we've covered some of this ground. I don't know. I like goofy stuff, but yeah, like whatever.
Also free t-shirts. Always fun.
Yep. Give away something free.
It's good. And I believe that the Pit Spitters are giving away free t-shirts on opening night. If you want to go, come north. At jaronoff38 says, should the Tigers keep Matt Boyd as a veteran presence for Mize, Manning, etc., or shop him? And speaking of a veteran presence, does a JV Tigers reunion in 2021 make sense for either side? Start with the first one. Keep Matt Boyd.
We talked about this a little bit, and I lean keep Boyd as well. It's too hard to see in the future for JV and the Tigers because both things have to kind of come into alignment, right? Either one might be not make sense and it won't come together. But JV signed a little bit of an extension. Is it just a 2-year extension with the Astros?
I have no idea. Just going to be straight with you.
I'd have to look it up too. I wouldn't surprise at the end of his career and maybe they need a fill in and things look promising. It wouldn't be stunning, but I don't think it's something that's, oh yeah, this is going to be likely or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah, I for sure wouldn't hold my breath. And it's crazy. Like I read the question. I'm like, that's like a trillion years away.
Yeah. It's impossible to say.
I mean, it's 2 years away. Like it's 2019 right now. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
Jake Skronik asks, how do you suggest that he follows the Tigers in China? First of all, congrats on going to China. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
And who are you?
Maybe he lives in China.
No, he lives in Virginia. Oh. How would I suggest following them? I just wouldn't. I'd enjoy being in China.
Yeah, you're in a different country. But if you really need a craving, I would suggest using the internet.
Yeah, and maybe don't follow the Tigers. Maybe follow your favorite Northwoods League team. I think that might be more beneficial. And also, who are you pulling for in the Champions League final?
What are my choices?
Spurs and Liverpool. Also, shocking you don't know that. The biggest game in the world.
Spurs, I guess.
Yeah, Spurs are the right answer. Like, as a United
fan.
Well,
Ajax I wanted, but Ajax isn't a thing anymore, huh?
Yeah, Spurs crushed that dream. It was great drama watching them crush that dream. I'm not going to lie, but I was pulling for them. I do not want Liverpool to win it at all, but one of my close friends is a Liverpool fan, and I want him to be happy. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, you're such a buddy.
I don't know. I'm not sure who I'm rooting for. Plus, there's a bunch of Spurs fans on Twitter that I like. I don't want them to be happy. So I don't know. I'll just watch it for the spectacle. How's that?
Yeah. You don't have much control over it. So you're good.
Also true. People forget that.
Yep.
Two questions on El Felino. Grumble and says, at what point is it safe to feel that the El Felino is for real and not Chris Shelton / Brennan Bosch version 3.0?
Well, I don't think he's done as much as Shelton, has he? Shelton was gangbusters.
Truly, so was Bosch. I mean,
when he first came up, he was bonkers too. Yeah. So let's not go crazy with those comparisons. But he's going to level off a little bit as far as power goes. But I mean, it's not. He's batting .271, 6 home runs. I mean, he's not going nuts.
Yeah, except for the 6 home runs is in like a third of the at bats of everyone else on the team.
Yeah, while everybody else on the team stinks for hitting power. It's not like he's leading. He's not like he's top 10 in the league in anything.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably at very most a 2 WAR player. So, I mean, take that.
Which would be phenomenal if you can get that out of him.
And Scamp23 asks, which is El Felino better at, wrapping or playing infield?
Okay, so he's better at wrapping than infield defense, but he's a better hitter than he is a wrapper. That's how that hierarchy goes.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. He is a genuinely awful infielder, which is awesome because it gives you something like, oh, ground ball hit to Ronnie Rod. This is a routine play. Is he going to make it? Like, it's the little things, you know?
It's exciting sport.
Tim in the North says, what will be greater by the end of the season, the number of Tigers wins or the number of Game of Thrones episodes you two have collectively watched? There's 73 in total.
So I've watched 73.
I've watched zero.
Okay, so probably still the under. Yeah. Since I predicted 69 wins.
Yeah, definitely the Game of Thrones episodes. Two more. At Matthew C. Bayer says, how many MLB ballparks have you visited and which was your favorite? And he hopes to hear the answer in a month when he catches up on all his podcasts again.
I feel like I've answered this question, but I haven't seen that many. I've been to Comerica. I've been to Wrigley. I've been to whatever the heck they call U.S. Cellular now. Guaranteed rate field.
Yeah, with the the arrow pointing down, which is so appropriate.
Yeah. I've been to whatever they call it in Phoenix. It used to be Bank One Ballpark. What is it called now?
Chase Ballpark, maybe?
Yeah. I've been to that one. I've been to the Trop.
How was that?
It's like a game happening in a large living room.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I'd agree with that.
I went there for one of these last spring training games where they kind of play. Mm-hmm. And it was – the atmosphere was so – there. It was so crazy. Like if you were sitting behind first base and I was sitting behind third base, I could just be like – hey, Jordan, what do you think of the game? And you could not even yelling at the top of my voice, just in a loud voice. Like, you could have responded to me and we could have had a little back and forth.
I'd have pretended like I didn't know you.
Of course you would.
I'd have turned to Whitney like, this dude, he's crazy.
Who's that? So that was the crazy. Baseball writers love the Trop.
Why?
Love the Trop. Because you know you're getting your game in, and it's easy to get in and out, and it's just easy.
All right, now you got to pick a favorite.
Comerica has the nicest, it has the best views, honestly, of all of them. But I actually like the one in Phoenix. I thought it was interesting. It's got the closable roof, which I found fascinating. I need to get to some more ballparks because I thought that one was neat.
They have the hot tub out there too, don't they?
Yeah. Cool.
So let's see. I counted them. I've been to 14. PNC is my favorite.
I mean, I have to get there.
You guys know the three things in life that I love are skylines, bridges, and baseball. I mean, you literally combine all three of them. I mean, that's kind of my thing. Also, Camden Yards, awesome. Minute Maid in Houston, awesome. Safeco in Seattle, awesome. And also they have we watched the retractable roof retract out, and it was fascinating. It was really cool.
Neat.
Last one from Nicholas Haller. He says, with presumably Boyd, Castellanos, and Green being top trade pieces, do you try to package them up to get prospects, or do you trade them separately to get prospects?
Separately.
Yeah. The thing about packaging them together is you have to find a team that has needs in right field and as a closer.
Like, has the exact needs.
It's very specific. Yeah.
Did you see the Atlanta rumors today with Green?
No, I did not.
Yeah. There was some rumors about the Atlanta Braves wanting to move sooner on somebody maybe like Green.
Yeah, I don't understand why some of the teams leave it to the deadline. Like, getting an extra month or 2 months out.
Yeah, it gives you some value.
Why would you not do that? Yeah. I saw somebody was floating around a rumor about a Castellanos a Boyd trade to the Braves. I don't know if that was like a, you know, who says no type of deal, or if it was like actually founded in something. But I mean Shane's gonna go at the deadline. And to be fair, Shane probably should. Like,
yeah.
Being the closer on a bad team is not a great gig. Like, it just, you're not going to get many chances, and then you're coming in a lot of non-save situations with, especially a guy like with Shane. You got to imagine he has a hard time getting it up for non-save situations. Like, he's such a adrenaline junkie. Like, I don't know. I would feel good for him to go to a winner, especially Atlanta. That'd be a fun.
If you sold him this year, traded him this year, you certainly would be selling high, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, I think
he's been tremendous.
I think he's this good, but I mean, at the end of the day, he's a, what, 30-year-old reliever? I mean,
he is 30 years old. He's got a 1.42 ERA. He's got 5 walks on 23 strikeouts.
Yeah, I'm selling. I mean, I love Shane, but I'm selling that all day.
Okay.
All right. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you could take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or Spotify. Does Spotify have ratings? Or should I just cut that?
I don't know about that.
All right. I'm not going to cut it.
I don't know things.
Obviously. Okay. You guys all know that. I'm not cutting it. anything else to say to the listeners before we get out of here
for the night?
All right. With that being said, we will catch you guys either next week or in the foreseeable future.
Sometime in the future.
And until
we will not
then,
see you again in the past, unless you're listening to a rerun, in which we'll see you in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. And if you want, you can go back later on and re-listen to the numbers power rankings and see if they've changed.
Good thinking.
Yeah. I think the only thing left is eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.